creativity, kindness, the first two faces of intention. The third face of intention is called simply love. My friend Leo Biscaglia, you remember Leo? Leo, who wrote a book about love and who did many things for public television, 2 days before he died, he wrote me a beautiful letter, and he said, Wayne, just keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right path. And he said, the sun is always shining behind the clouds. Stay connected. That was from my friend Leo Biscaglia, who I hardly knew, but he wrote about love, and he talked about it on PBS, many, many years ago, decades ago now. My intention, and I wrote a chapter on this, is called, it is my intention to respect myself at all times. Your view of the world really depends upon how much you respect yourself. How much love do you have for yourself? When you trust in yourself, you're trusting in the same wisdom that created you. When you fail to trust in yourself, when you fail to love yourself, you are denying your own divinity and therefore attracting the exact opposite of what this source is. This is a source of love. It is a source of great respect. It doesn't create anything that it doesn't have a loving feeling toward. If you don't have that feeling of love toward yourself, you can't extend it outward, for who can give away what they don't have for themselves? Who can do that? I've often used the metaphor of an orange. If you squeeze an orange, you get out of it orange juice. Why? It's an orange. That's what's inside. And when you squeeze you, someone puts pressure on you, says something about you that you don't like, and out of you comes anger and hatred and bitterness and tension and fear and anxiety and depression and worry and stress. It's not because of who did the squeezing. It's not because of the instrument they used or the timing. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what's inside. If you don't have love for yourself, you're not trusting in the wisdom that created you. And the idea of being able to respect yourself at all times, how do you go about doing this? You spend your life in a state of cooperation rather than competition. You see yourself as someone who is love in action. It's one of the things that I have written on my return address when I write someone back. It says that it'll have my name and then the address, and it's above my name. It says love in action. That's what you have to be, love in action. You suggest to yourself and you say these words to yourself, I am whole, I am perfect as I was created. I am whole and I am perfect as I was created. And I came from a source that not only determined the shape of my eye and the shape of my body and the color of my skin and my height, but I came from a source that had a great idea about who I should be as well. And you sense that. And that cannot be fulfilled, it cannot be actualized, it cannot be created if you are not in a state of love. Now, when are you not in a state of love? Whenever you judge another human being, you do not define them with your judgment. You define yourself as someone who needs to judge. If I call you stupid, that does not make you stupid. That makes me a person who has to put labels on other people. And as Soren Kierkegaard, the great Danish theologian, once said, once you label me, you negate me. Match game. Match game. Are my thoughts in harmony with that source from which I emanated? Because, folks, when they are, the right people will show up. And the right events will transpire. And everything that you need in what Carl Jung called synchronicity, that there is almost like what happens when you are in a state of love and not having resistance to that, there is like a collaboration with fate. So judging anybody else just says, I need to judge. It doesn't make them what they are. And all I can say to you, each and every one of you, about love and loving yourself is this, that true nobility, is not about being better than anyone else. It's about being better than you used to be. It's about being better than you used to be. All I can say to you up here as I speak to you now at this age, that I'm not better than one person out there watching or one person here in this beautiful theater. But I know for certain that I'm better than I used to be in almost every, not in almost, in every single way that that can be measured. I know that. I know that as a human being, as a writer, as a father, as a grandfather, as whatever it is that I am in my life, I am better than I used to be. Be love. The fourth face of intention is the face of beauty. Here we have a source. Here we have a source that is ultimate truth. It is the source from which you emanated. It's invisible. It's formless. Particles themselves do not create more particles. You need this to create a particle. And here is one of the most beautiful quotes about beauty, written by one of the people who probably knows as much about beauty as anybody. His name was Michelangelo. I don't know if you've ever been to Florence and you've seen David. I mean, just to stand in the same room. I went there to just look at David. I had no idea that David was 18 feet tall. And that I stood there not for 20 minutes. My whole family went traveling all over Florence. I said, come back. I can't leave. I was mesmerized by the beauty. And I always loved what Michelangelo said when they asked him, how could, out of one piece of marble, how could you create something so beautiful? And he said, David was already in there. I just chipped away the excess. David is in you. Beauty is in you. And here's what he said about beauty. He said, every beauty which is seen here below, down here below, by persons of perception, resembles more than anything else that celestial source from which we all come. Isn't that great? Every beauty that we see resembles more than anything else that source. We're talking about source, connecting to source, from which we all come. Do you see beauty? Do you see it more or less in your life? Can you find it in a homeless person urinating on the street? Can you find beauty in a cockroach? As you reach higher levels of consciousness, you begin to see, not only do you see beauty everywhere and in everything, you begin to recognize it as truth. One of my favorite quotes that I wrote about, and years ago I wrote a book called Wisdom of the Ages. And it was a collection of 60 essays. We did a public television special on it, and many of you watched it and contributed to PBS from it. And there was a young man, a Victorian poet in England named John Keats. He died at the age of 24. He wrote thousands of poems, many, many essays, 24. And he said these words, and I wrote an essay about it, but I must confess to you, because I'm better than I used to be, I must confess to you that I didn't really understand this quote until I wrote The Power of Intention, until I put together this program here for you. I didn't really fully grasp it. I get it now. I get it. And it's the last line in a poem called Ode on a Grecian Urn. And the couplet goes like this. Beauty is truth. See, this is truth. This is the source from which we all emanate. And we leave when we take on an ego. Beauty is truth. Truth beauty. That is all you know on earth and all you need to know from one of the greatest poets of his time. Your natural state is beauty, joy, tranquility. I want to experience beauty. And you know, the way to get beauty into your life is to say, I only attract it. And I take the path of least resistance. I take the path of least resistance. What's the path of least resistance? The path that says, I am as closely aligned with this energy as it's possible to be. You know, in 1978, I had a wonderful opportunity, one of the great opportunities of my life. I was invited by an organization called YPO, Young President's Organization, to come to Vienna in Austria. It was at the time when erroneous zones and pulling your own strings were topping all the charts, and they invited me to come over and lecture to all these presidents. I was 38 years old and very much in more of an ego mode than I have learned to become in my life. But I was honored to go over there, and I had read a book when I was in college, and I was teaching at a university, and I taught this book. It's called Man's Search for Meaning, and it was written by a man who was a survivor of the Holocaust. His name was Viktor Frankl. And Viktor Frankl decided that he had to survive the Holocaust because he had to tell the story. That was his purpose. We got to Vienna, and I found out that little Wayne Dyer, this little kid who lived in foster homes and worked for everything he ever had in his life, was on the same panel with Viktor Frankl. Man's Search for Meaning. I just sat there in awe. I remember what Rumi once said. He said, sell your cleverness and purchase bewilderment. Just be in a state of bewilderment. And I was just totally in awe to be sitting in the same room, let alone on the same panel, let alone discussing in front of these presidents with this man who had had everything taken away from him. He was a psychiatrist who was taken off to the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And he described how he survived. The Nazis gave him a bowl of soup, which was just hot water with even sometimes bugs floating around in it. And there was a dead fish head for flavor in the soup. That was his meal for the day. And he described the beauty. Not the anger, because the anger, and he learned very early that anger and resentment and hatred are low energies that always weaken you. He learned to find beauty in a floating fish head. You've got to be able to find it everywhere. Beauty is truth. Truth, beauty. They are one. Find it in as many places as you can. The next face of intention is what I call the face of expansiveness. And the intention that I have for this is, it is my intention to express the genius that I am. I love that Buckminster Fuller once wrote, everyone is born a genius, but the process of living de-geniuses you. It's that. This source is an expanding source. It's a forming power. You have to be a forming power. You have to be in a state of expansion, a state of seeing yourself in the same way that this universal source sees you. You are a genius. Einstein said that imagination is more important than knowledge. More important than knowledge. He also said something very powerful. He said, all I want to do is to learn to think like God thinks. All the rest is details. It's just details. How much time do you spend in your life on the details? This program is about learning to think, feel, and sound like your source, like source energy. So you have to pay attention within you to all of your inner thoughts that have any doubt in them. Hawkins talks about this in Power Versus Force, that everyone that is labeled a genius has something called radical humility. They don't brag about it. They don't talk about how great they are. They just know that they came from a source and they came here to do something. And to me, I mean, I have people that show up in my life who think that because I can get up in front of an audience or because I can sit down and write, that this makes me a genius. And, you know, folks, you know, if my car doesn't start, I open up the hood and I'm looking for on, off. Hoping to find a switch in there. Because otherwise, I am completely challenged when it comes to fixing things. And I want it that way. I encourage that, all right? I don't want to be spending my energy fixing screen doors, and I've made that really clear. So I just manifest screen door repairers in my life. The way that you stay with this field of expansion is that you align with the spiritual energy that is really the genius from which you originated. You are a genius. One of the most important things that you can do is look for the genius in others. See it in everyone, in everything that they do, and remind them of that. I have 8 children. Every single one of them is a genius in their own way. Every one of them. One of my daughters is, who you'll be hearing in a few moments, is a genius when it comes to taking the microphone and singing. One of my daughters has such power in her ability to get on a horse and to take little children and to show them how to ride a horse. And she looks with her long, flowing blonde hair when she's out there and she takes these little children and she just touches my heart. And it's so powerful. And she knows that this is her purpose. Her purpose has something to do. She can't ever stop thinking about anything that doesn't have something to do with horses. Every paper she ever had to write in school has something to do with that. She's her own little genius. I have a son who is who's a surfer and who's also made up his own language. He speaks a language that he and a few of his friends can do. And I have a brother. My brother David is the same way. He created a language when we were 13 and 14 years old, and I still speak it today. And nobody else understands anything about it whatsoever. If I say Clotopol, Diapeaker, or the Beatty Banal, only my kids will know what I'm talking about. There's not a person in the whole country. My brother Dave, watching this, he'll know what I'm talking about. That's a genius. All of my children have this in one form or another. And each and every one of you have that as well. Don't let life de-genius you. You came from a source that creates perfection.